two village idiots with a love-hate relationship.
See, you got fat.
See, you still look like a 15-year-old girl, but not hot.
Who can't stop arguing over Oklahoma sports.
You know what, man? Why am I still talking to you?
Come on, we were doing good there, man.
It's the Just Okay Sports Podcast.
Sooner Nation, Thunder Nation, we are back. This is the Just Okay Sports Podcast. That means just Oklahoma sports and a Just Okay Sports Podcast. I'm one of your Village Idiots, Daryl. I'm here with my brother, Jared. By the way, we are not journalists. We are not insiders. We are fans who like to talk about Oklahoma sports. That's who we are. We hope you enjoy this. And if you do, please like, subscribe, and leave a five-star review. Heck, leave a four-star because it is just okay. So that's fine, too. We would appreciate all of it. That said, Jared, how is Florida, my good friend, sir, brother?
It's good. Yeah, it's been raining here for like the last 3 or 4 days, but it's like getting humid. So yeah, I don't know. It's been all right. I had to go get my passport stuff done the other day.
Yeah, you've been working on that for like 2 months.
Yeah, so it's actually, what's funny is it's all submitted, thank God. And I was actually super frustrated the first day because I went and, like, you know, I'd everything filled out and all that. And apparently, like, now, like, I don't know, there's a whole deal with expediting and all this other stuff. So I was trying to expedite just because I was like, I don't know how long it's going to take. I have a trip planned for July that I'll be out of country. So I was like, I don't want to, you know, risk
it. Where are you going in July? I know you didn't tell me you were leaving the country in July.
Bro, how many times? No, hang on. No. We're going to have a J. Rodge rant right off the bat. How many times do I find out about news about you and your family on this podcast? You're like, oh, yeah, by the way, we're live and you tell me things. So don't even at me, bro. I was like, going to expedite it. And I go through this whole process. And like the first day, I don't remember, I'd forgot something or whatever. So I had to go back the next day. And she was like, because of something with expediting. I don't remember what it was. And I think it may have been my birth certificate. I think you have to, like, they have to, like, sign off that you have an original copy or something. I don't know. Anyway, came back and she's like, yeah, I don't know why, you know, she's like, you don't really have to expedite. And I was like, well, why is that? And she's like the turnaround time right now is like 5 weeks. So she's like, because you expedited, it's going to be like, you're going to get it in 4 weeks. And I was like, why would you not tell me this yesterday? You know what I mean? Like, why would you not tell me this yesterday? I had to drive all the way over there again, you know, and of course it's a government building, so it's going to be chaos. Yeah, I don't know. That's been like my biggest thing this week. I went and saw Dune last night. I'm sure we'll talk about that later. I will say this. Can I just say one thing about it?
Yep.
Saw it on an IMAX. Bro, I'm going to tell you, if you live in Oklahoma and you've got the Warren or whatever it's called now, Regal, whatever. Ironically, I watched it at a Regal. Bro, it's that IMAX screen in Oklahoma City is just, bro, there's no matching it. It was like funny because there was a person to mention like, man, this IMAX screen is really cool. And I was like, bro, they have like, I'm going to be honest. You have no idea
what
an IMAX screen is. Like,
so true.
So
yeah, that theater is legit when you get a chance to go see that kind of stuff for that. So Troy and I did, who yet again is not on the pod with us, but he did go to Dune with me, so I'm sure again we'll talk about all that stuff later. But yeah, I wish I could have gotten to go down to the Regal to watch it.
Yeah, so how's things in the household there, bud?
It's all good. Just feels like we're rebuilding our home. There's just, you know, we've had our house is just, you know, it's 18, 19 years old and lots of stuff that's original in it. And the biggest thing with where we are, we have a lot of hard water. So having to replace, you know, valves and stuff on showers and replacing toilets and, you know, more, got another plumber coming again Friday to replace more valves and another shower and, you know, just stuff like that. On and on and on, but yeah, life's really good. Life is really good as far as the countdown goes. You and I and a good friend of ours, Tyler, and our dad, in 2 weeks. So we'll have a pod next week. Then the week after that, we are not potting. We are not potting because we will be on planes headed to Vegas for March Madness. It's going to be awesome. Hey. And we get to hang out with the UNLV staff, football staff, Barry Odom, Coach
we'll have to post some pictures in the facility if they'll let us and all that.
Absolutely. So get to hang out with
them.
By
the way, maybe you can give me the login to the Just Okay stuff, and I'll do a podcast just getting off the plane absolutely just however many cocktails deep, you know? No. Vegas is going to be fun. I'm excited.
That's going to be a blast. So good times, good birthday wishes, all the stuff. So anyways, but it is wild to think we're spring football season, ladies and gentlemen. Yep. As much as we are dying for the fall to get here, it is the springtime, which, again, I say every year, this is one of my favorite times of the year where you just really get to finally see people for the first time in live action, even just from the clips they show of practices and the spring game. I love that stuff and trying to evaluate with my own eyes for the first time on a lot of these guys. And it all started today with Brent Venables having a press conference today around lunchtime. And there were a couple things I think that came out of that were pretty good that I think we should talk about. First and foremost, let's give a big round of applause to the man upstairs, if you're okay with that, and to anything else. But Mrs. Venables is cancer-free. It was announced today, which is just awesome. Really grateful for that and his family. And dude, it says a lot about Brent Venables. And really, when you think about how last season went, as his wife was dealing with all that, you know, to see that team improve the way they did, and be able to really recognize that while he's still flying out to go with her to treatments and surgeries and all kinds of stuff. Pretty dang impressive to get the recruiting class you did. Just awesome. So,
yeah, I mean, that's, you know, I always tell people, it's like, it's weird. You know, we've always had our experiences with cancer, and it's like, it's such a weird, it's different than everything else, because you just never know. Like, you can go and somebody could be early diagnosis and everything, and things can still go south, or the opposite can happen. It literally feels like a roll of the dice or a flip of a coin more than other things. So I know, like, you know, even when they said, like, the prognosis is good, you're always with cancer, you're kind of always like, yeah, but, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So, and he said as much, right? So,
yeah. I mean, so very, very happy for them. And I think that that's just happy that he gets that weight lifted. Their family gets that weight lifted. So yeah, congratulations to her.
Yeah.
And to Brent and that family.
Yeah. Very cool. So that's the personal stuff. Football wise, I thought one of the early things that came out of said presser today, Justin Harrington, it is official that he does get another year of eligibility. So I know we harped on this forever last week, and a lot of people think I'm crazy, but I think that is a huge thing for this team, and especially for that cheetah position. I think being able to mix and match him with Deson and, oh my gosh, why am I forgetting his name now? Our little cornerback guy that we moved in there towards the end of the season. Kendall Dolby. There it is, Kendall Dolby. I think will be huge. But I think he has a versatility of both those guys. But it also lets both of them develop a little bit more through the season too. So I thought that was huge. I don't know about you, but I thought that was a big deal for this team.
Well, I mean, we talked about it a little bit last week. And like I said, I kind of split it into two. But it's like, I just don't think you can understate the leadership that he brings. Mm-hmm. That alone, it's like, even if they, you know, obviously we hope he's healthy and we hope he gets to contribute on the field. It's like, even if he had an injury and he was like, I'm just going to be with the team throughout the season or whatever. Yeah. It's like, bro, that leadership in that locker room and that just on the defense as a whole is going to pay massive dividends, I think.
Yeah. And he also did mention that he's still in recovery from his knee injury. But he will be completely full go for summer. He kind of left it, I believe, open-ended for the spring, but he did say summer, he will be 100% ready to go. No surprise here, but I was honestly a little shocked that he was willing to put this out there, because BV, as much as BV is honest about all of his positions, he also is a very positive outlook kind of a guy, right? And kind of a no excuses guy, but definitely acknowledged in the press conference today that the lack of experience and the depth of the O-line is a concern. And the area that he's most concerned about, with the context of what I just said about how BV usually handles these things, does that worry you more that he's willing to come out in public and say, yeah, I'm kind of worried about this position.
Man, I guess I'll give my unpopular opinion. I don't put, there's no disrespect towards to BV. I don't know that I put as much weight into what he says about predictions and player, you know, what he praise, I guess. Mm-hmm. Just because it's, we've seen where he just praises the crap out of somebody and then it, Caleb Hicks,
yeah,
right? We heard nothing but his name, it seemed like 1,000 times. And what do we see of him? Right. Yeah. And even, you know, even in the beginning of the season, we heard right before the season, so we're hearing, you know, Sawchuk and Barnes are coming on, all these things. And of course, you know, they kind of got their shots later in the year, but beginning of the season, it's like they were no shows.
Right.
You know, it's just one of those things. I don't think he's trying to be deceptive. I think part of it says positive outlook. I don't know what to think. I mean, saying it's inexperienced doesn't mean it's necessarily bad. That's not a good sign necessarily, right? But it's like, it doesn't mean that it's going to be bad. So I think it's way too early to see. I mean, definitely on spring, the spring game is going to be amazing to watch, honestly.
Yeah.
Because of this now.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, you never know, but it does give me concern, right? Because
sure, yeah.
Again, BV is very honest, but usually his honesty comes in, hey, you know what? We really like Danny, right? Like, let's use Danny's. Danny's an incredibly talented guy. He's this, but this has to get better, right? And so it's praise. Here's the problem, right? Here's the thing. Our team is good. We just need to do this, right? Like, you see what I'm saying? Today it was very like, there was a couple of, you know, we like Keith Ozeta and we need this guy to come along and that guy, but we need a lot more there. And experience is one of those. I mean, he kind of just went on and on, and that group's got to really come together. And I'm like, okay, this feels like here's the good, and we need this, and the negative. Yeah. That gives me a lot of pause with a BV. I mean, the last time that we heard anything like that was, I feel like, season one, after they kind of had been there a few months, and it was the structure and the understanding of what it takes to be a championship team is not in us right now, right? Like, that was the last time you just kind of heard him just outright say, we do not have our crap together and it needs to get there. And so, again, spring ball, summer, it could get there. It could be great. But as of right now, to hear him talk the way he did, it only adds to my anxiety about the offensive line that I think we all are already anxious about, but it did not give me much hope in that. What I was hoping was a little bit of hopium where I'd go, okay, BV's talking him up, but I got to see it. And instead, what I felt like I heard was, BV's not talking them up and I'm already scared. They better get their crap together.
Well, and you know, and here's the thing, I think you have to kind of really look back at as a big picture sort of thing. Especially the last few years under Lincoln Riley, I would have rather have had an inexperienced physical offensive line, mm-hmm, rather than have some of the experienced ones we had, right? Like, I would have taken the line with Drew Samia and Orlando and all those guys, that 2017 group. I would have taken them as sophomores or freshmen, yeah, and played them instead, because at least they were violent. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, so I am interested to see. It is definitely an area of concern, though. I do concede that. There's nothing to really say else besides,
well, sure. It's just, and that's just like a basic, right? It's an unknown, but it's a concern when you lose that many starters. I think that's there. And again, that's why I was hoping he would, you know, kind of try to convince me otherwise, you know, like, and we've talked about, you got to take his positivity with a grain of salt sometimes and those kinds of things. But I was hoping he would give me that, you know, this guy's come so far. This guy looks that, you know, we'll see it looks like, kind of a thing.
Well, and you know, and the funny thing about it is, to me, I think it's going to be the offensive line is just, especially in like how offenses run now. It's like, we've seen, not necessarily at OU, but I remember seeing like offensive lines where it's like, they literally take one guy out of that offensive line that graduates or moves on, or, and then it's like all of a sudden that line underperforms. and it can't do what it did. You know, they're so sensitive to change. So having one that's basically
all new
is a scary thought. Yeah. No, there's no way around that. So
yeah, for sure. I did like these things. He talked about in their mat drills and their coaches stations, you know, they've been able to watch them over here the last, you know, however many months and weight room and all that stuff. And he said, I think the word we have used the most for this team is competitive. And I really liked that. And again, I don't know what other adjective they would say, right, in the midst of it. But he did go on for a long time about this team really enjoys and likes the concept of competing. And what I really thought, and we're going to get to this in more specific later, but they also did player interviews today. And Danny Okoye said something in his one-on-one interview where he said, one of the things I like about our class is we're pretty tight-knit together. And he said, and nobody's really trying to, like, undo anybody. Nobody's trying to, like, overtake anybody. We really just want to compete with each other and see how far we can really make each other get to. And so, like, even him, as a guy that's been there for, you know, 8 weeks, using that same, like, thought process of we have just come in wanting to compete. And whoever wins, wins, but let's compete, you know? And so I thought that was a cool little niche in a little different way that he talked about this team than he has in these past two seasons.
Well, I you know, and I've said this since, you know, BV's first season that I keep using the word equity, right? Like when he got here, he had no equity. It was basically he had to play favorites to some degree because he didn't have anybody else to pick from, right? In some situations. You know, he was piecemealing together a whole team. So sometimes he was having to put somebody out there that he wished he didn't, for whether that be off-field issues or on-field issues. And I think now, you know, it's now he's in his third season. He's got a couple of recruiting classes under him, I guess. Is it technically three?
Yeah.
Yeah, technically three classes under him. Getting some of these guys in, there's still guys waiting to come in, and it's like you're finally getting to where you've built that roster enough and you have enough guys in there that people can't just say, well, I've been here and like he didn't have anybody else to replace me,
right?
You know, or there's nobody good enough. It's like, you know, that equity's built up to a point now where BV's able to kind of tighten those things down, I think, and it just that improves the culture, right? You know, he's talked about that, but I think it's like, and I don't think he's ever lied, but it's like now it's more and more true. It's like, look, if, you know, I just because he's the first person came out, if David Stone's lighting it up, but then, you know, we get close to season, he starts slacking off or whatever, he can say, okay, you're out and Jackson's in, right? Or whatever. Like he can do that. And when you've built the equity up enough that you can start doing those things. So I think it's I've always said it's if BV can keep it rolling, can keep getting the wins on the field for the next couple of seasons. Really this next season. Next season is a statement season. And I don't want to get into the whole predictions for the season and all that. If he can have a good season this year, like dude, that's where the train starts rolling. That's where you can start to really, I think, get the culture to a point where it's something special.
Sure. Yeah, no, I think that's a great point. And I mean, that's true anywhere, right? Of just the more you get your people around you that share your vision and the way that you want to run things, it's going to change the complexity of how everybody works together, fits together, you know, works together, et cetera.
Here, let me give you another quick example of what I'm talking about. Look at Kansas. Like Kansas is a competitive football team now.
Yeah.
Now you look at that roster, it's like they don't have like 4 and 5 stars or anything. I mean, they probably don't even have 3 stars at a lot of positions, but how many years was it they weren't even giving all their scholarships away?
Yeah.
Because they just couldn't get enough people to come play for them. And now it's like they filled that roster out, and because of just natural progression of competition and building a good culture, here we are. So, anyway.
That's a great one. The other thing that I thought that was interesting is he was asked about the newcomers, right, and what that's looking like and all the things. And he really didn't get into anybody specific, but what I loved was, as he said, this group really came in ready and they've attacked everything and they have not flinched at all, which I thought was really interesting because I think even last year he said you can really see their talent, but they're still just kind of, you know, they're treading water, I think is kind of the way he said it. Something he said something to that effect last year of, we love what we see, our evaluations, that's there, but man, like, they're figuring it out, right? Like, it was just, right. You could tell, not frustrated, but just very, I mean, y'all are freshmen, it's okay, but like, you're not there. This group, for what, I don't know why, I don't know even really what he means by it, but you can tell that they really, really like this class, and that whatever they've done coming in, they are ready to run, and they have jumped straight in, because he doesn't feel like they're treading water or standing in place. He was kind of praising them as a holistic group of really coming in and hitting the ground running.
Do you think, let me ask you this. Do you think that this is like him, the fact that he's actually still been able to get guys to commit and then stay committed? Like, he's had guys that have committed fairly early in the process, yeah. Right? But most of those guys stay committed, and they don't seem to take a lot of visits, and they seem to be OU guys from that point on. Do you think that leads into that attitude of like, now I'm ready to attack because this has been my school for 5 months or 6 months already?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. And I think 100% from a mentality standpoint and all that, yes. But I felt like his comments were much more like, this group didn't come in going, oh, that's what a weightlifting workout looks like. Oh, that's what that drill looks like. Oh, that's what you mean by conditioning. It felt like last year, that's kind of what he was alluding to, was like the group came in and they were committed. They were in, they were doing the right stuff, but they just didn't really at all have a concept of how to attack an off season very well, right? Like, they were still kind of standing around going, where do you want me? How fast do you want me to move? How many reps do you want me to do? This group, like, feels like they've already been college made ready. That's the way I took it, was not necessarily that mentality. But I do agree with you, getting these guys in this all-in mindset. And let's be real, when you recruit locally, this is something I hadn't thought about till you just said this, Jared. When you recruit locally the way he does, all these Oklahoma kids, what does that mean they get to do? It means they get to visit a lot, right? Because you're not living in California and coming out for one unofficial, a junior day, and then you're official, right? You're there for three times, and all three are just, what's the right word? Just a big sales pitches, right? Like, it's just taking you around and putting your best foot forward. But when you live in Norman, you live in Del City, you live in Moore, you live in Tulsa, and you can literally come whenever you want. You get to go and watch practice.
Right.
You get to go and watch a workout. You get to go and sit in on meetings. You get to do all those things. And so guess what? You arrive on campus, I know what their practices look like. I know what their training looks like. I know what the coaching. So you don't come in shocked, right? You actually have seen so much for so long. You actually get to come in as a freshman going, yeah, I know how y'all do this drill. I've seen y'all do it like six times when I've driven down here to watch you guys do it. And I've never even thought about that till just now. So not only are they all in on the mindset, but you've got so many guys from driving distance around you because you focused on a more local or, you know, tight-knit recruiting base, that those guys actually get to come see what you're doing, see the philosophies, and then they can show up and go, oh, I've done this before. Let me show you how to do it. And now your freshman class takes a jump even faster because they have guys in their own class leading them, if that makes sense.
Well, and I think there's been like the shift in mentality. The other shift in mentality is to the players on campus, right? You know, I think even Danny talked about this, and Jaron talked about this on the podcast on the Prairie, about how, you know, even when they were freshmen or when they were, you know, still under Lincoln and stuff, when like a new recruit would come in, you know, they'd host them and, you know, they'd be friendly with them. And it's like, not to say they wouldn't build a little bit of a friendship, but it's like there was going to be two dozen people at that position come through.
Yeah.
So you just were like, okay, you know, hey, your name's Joe. Cool. Whatever. But you said, you know, now it's like there's a lot more like commitment to it. Like, when the guy commits, then they probably do have open channels of communication between them, you know, with whatever's within guidelines or whatever. But But I'm sure that they talk to each other and then they get that information. Like they've talked about that. Like even the David Stone and all those guys, when they were in recruiting, they said, we have a giant text group of everybody that's in the 25 class and we have, or the 24 class. And, you know, everything else, like they've done all that. And I think that that's something, like I said, just having that early commitment, I think just builds, like I said, not only the culture and attitude, but it's also the lines of communication are open and there's a lot more information that you're pre-installed with to be able to come into OU and say, this is what Schmidt is. Because regardless of what they say, and I agree, ain't nobody ready for a Schmidt workout. They probably still were like, what is this guy doing?
You know, 100%. You got to feel it, you know, and experience it to get through it. But again, just to know, hey, when we say we're doing blah, blah, blah drill, this is exactly what we want from it, you know, saves time and allows you to really attack that workout as opposed to spending your whole first day going, okay, I'm cutting like this, or I'm running, you know what I mean? Like just learning what they want from all those different things, I think is a huge benefit for sure. So anyways, I didn't even think about that. That was just kind of a rant and a train of thought there, but
it's the off season. We're trying to fill the void, you know?
Yeah. So. You know, now this is what got me really excited. And I posted this already on social media this evening and it's already getting all kinds of love and getting all kinds of, feedback over here. But Danny Okoye, I've only got to listen to two of the player interviews. I listened to Danny Okoye and I listened to a little bit of Jaden Jackson. And there's a lot we could digest, but we'll wait till the next pod so we actually have something to talk about. Danny Okoye says, as of today, he is between 255 and 260 pounds. He says he arrived at campus at 235 pounds. So he is up between 20 and 25 pounds in 2 months' time. Jaden Jackson, when asked about workouts, says, yeah, it's going really good. I'm at 297 currently. They said, what were you when you got here? He said, 279. That is two players in this class up nearly 20 pounds on the average between the two of them. Dude, I'll buy all that hopium that there is.
Like, yeah, I mean, you hear that and you're like, bro, are they putting Trin in the eggs or something? Like, what are they, like, they putting something in the...
It's dude, SEC, that's baby. It just means more. It just means more.
It just means more, yeah. You're going to start seeing them have all puffy faces and, you know, like, acne.
They're all going to start having bigger heads in the next 6 months and all kinds of stuff, right?
Yeah, it's going to look like big head mode on Madden. Yeah, no, that's crazy. I mean, there's people that don't put that in an entire off season, right?
Right.
Honestly, most people don't put that in an entire off season. But I think while I'm going to give a whole lot of praise to Schmitty, I think it's also the fact that the nutrition program has taken massive leaps forward. Mm-hmm. That's kind of OU's Achilles heel. I won't say Achilles heel, but it was their biggest weakness for I don't know how long, or one of, right? And now that's finally starting to be corrected. So I think that that's a huge thing, because we've even said that I really want to know what, like, it's going to be fun. We need to do, like, maybe for the season, we'll take all the freshmen, or at least pick some of them out and look at their listed weights then when they came in.
Yes.
And when we get to fall ball, because I guarantee you, it's like there's going to be some massive differences. Because there's how many guys we look at this on this team and go, like, I mean, that guy's big, but like if we were like if you give him another year or two in the program and he gets built up, it's like, dude, like right now it's like, if
hey,
Jane Jackson's that
this
big.
Is all I want to know. Danny Okoye needs to be with Kip Lewis everywhere he goes and saying, here's what I just ate, you're eating it. Here's what I just ate, you're eating it. Here's the lift I just did, you're doing it. Because if Kip Lewis could do that in 2 months, bro, and as much as I love Kobe McKenzie and I think he's going to be a star once Danny leaves, he ain't seeing the field this year if Kip Lewis is up 25 pounds playing that weak side and Danny's on the other. Like, but dude, like, even Jaden Jackson, this is a guy that all three of us, you, me, and Troy, have fallen in love with in this class, and we think he's one of the diamonds in this class. to hear him be at 297 right now. So now you know that it is March and he's got till August. Can you imagine if he got to 305, 310? Like, how do you keep him off the field at that point?
I do want to say this too, because I do agree with you 1,000%. To put on that much weight is crazy. But I guess here I'll be the dark one for a minute. A lot of that they could be putting a lot of dirty weight on him, right? And then just trimming them back through the next 6 months or whatever. Sure. But regardless, still impressive. Because again, it's even if they're putting on dirty weight, that ain't all dirty weight. When you're working out that much, right. And you're that ain't all just it ain't just well we just fed him a bunch of cheeseburger and told him to play.
I ain't gonna Xbox. Be mad if Jaden Jackson wants to get all the way up to 315 and trim himself back to 307 or 305 by the start of the season, right? Like,
right.
Like here's all the muscle now, but we're gonna trim all the baby fat off, you know, from July through.
Because could you imagine just having a guy like that in the middle, like just.
Yeah, no,
an absolute beast.
It would be incredible, is what it would be. It'd be absolutely incredible. So again, I thought those two guys, and again, Danny Okoye is another one that we've talked a lot about as far as just how athletic he is and what a freak he is from the athletics part. If he can keep that athleticism at 260 pounds, like here's a hot take for you. If he gets to 260 and keeps the athleticism he has, he will have a bigger impact as a true freshman than PJ did.
I mean, you might be right.
I mean, that's you're cooking with something right there. So anyways, so that's go ahead. Sorry.
And I just want to say, we haven't even talked about the offensive guy. I know we're not there yet, but it's like, just to give everybody in Sooner Nation a little bit of like feeder, a little bit of, you know, hopium or whatever for the coming weeks. Davin Mitchell's a guy. Like there's plenty of guys on the offensive side of the ball that we've talked about. I don't even think Davin Mitchell really needs to add a ton of weight.
No.
You know what I mean? If they came in and said, well, he added 20 pounds and he's still running a whatever 40, it's like, bro, I'm gonna be drooling, right? So I think that there's plenty of guys on that side of the ball too. So we'll see. But it's very exciting stuff. I'm glad. Let me ask you this just real quick before we move on. I know this is kind of a random time to ask. Outside of BV, is Schmitty the biggest piece to return for OU?
Ooh, that's a good question. I mean, maybe what's hard for me to say yes is, I think any addition in that seat would have been huge, right? Like, for instance, that the LSU guy helped. Huh?
Roasting.
What do you mean roasting?
You're roasting Benny Wiley.
Yes, 100% I am. Like, but you know what I mean? Like, LSU won a national title with their strengthening. And he was a guy that was very renowned like Schmitty, right? Like, I think if you'd have gotten anybody from a legit strength and conditioning program in there that knew how to not only mess with them physically, but also mentally and toughness, like it would have been a win. But yes, as far as who's on this staff currently, pretty big hire in Schmitty.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like strength and conditioning, I've been very on that train for a while, even when Lincoln was still here.
Yes, you were.
So anyway.
Sorry, the other thing that I thought stood out today from the deal that I forgot to mention that I did not know. So a little bit of trivia for you. As you know, our analyst, our special teams analyst, Mr. Jay Nunez, was hired by Alabama, despite the fact that we were ranked like 121 in special teams or something like that this year.
Yeah.
Did you know that we added someone to the staff that about 4 to 5 years ago was the national special teams assistant in the country?
I did not know this. This isn't trivia. This is just...
I didn't either. It's Mr. Zach Alley, our new defensive coordinator.
Oh.
He was hired as a linebacker / special teams coordinator at Boise State. And apparently won a national award for his special teams unit at Boise State. Which also probably shows why they were willing to let Mr. Jay Nunez go his way, right? So, which makes a lot of sense. Like, again, like when I started thinking about this Zach Alley hire, to know that he has that kind of ability at special teams, to know that he coaches the same position as BV, right? Like, BV can take on some linebacker coaching. Zach Alley's not going to miss a beat of that because they're both from the same tree, but yet he gets to kind of focus on special team. Like, it's starting to make some sense why maybe Ted Roof was, you know, we always knew he was kind of a stopgap anyway, right? But that he may have been told, hey, a year early, thanks for what you did, but it's time for us to move because we need the special teams help. This kid knows what he's doing. He knows what I like, all that kind of stuff. I mean, just an interesting note from those interviews today.
I wasn't going to be a creep. I even forgot this happened until you just mentioned it. I may have seen Ted Roof at the grocery store the other day.
Whoa.
Yeah. He was wearing UCS stuff, and it looked like, I mean, he was like a few aisles down from me, and I wasn't going to like follow him down. I was wearing OU stuff.
You absolutely should have followed him.
I should have been like, dude, you know, I was like,
it's
taking
for
pictures.
The pod, J-Rod. Yeah. It's for the pod.
But it was like, I don't know that it was him. I mean, when you really think about it, he kind of looks like a generic hipsterish dad guy. I don't know. So I wasn't going to go chase down some rando and be like, yo. And he's like, bro, you know, like, what are you doing? So yeah, anyways, I just thought that's funny because he is at UCF as well as, what's her name? Why am I thinking, forgetting it? She's the assistant director.
Lee Davis.
Lee Davis, there you go. So she's down here too. So yeah, it's just cool. Like I said, I think it's cool that not only is, I keep saying this and I'll say it every week, the fact that people leave OU, speak glowingly of OU, right? Ted Roof may or may not, or Levy, but regardless, a lot of people leave and go to bigger positions, talk glowingly of OU, but not only that, people want to come to OU that are already in positions that are good, right? So yeah, I think it's pretty awesome. I think again, it's just showing the thing, the BV's coaching tree is just going to keep building.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Moving on to recruiting, very generic note here, and I'm sorry, we're not going to get into all the details again. We're trying to kind of see what next week looks like, so we have plenty of content to talk there. But let's just say this. If OU can be successful on the field, and if they can continue to do what they've done in recruiting, BV might have his best class in 2025, despite the fact that it's going to have very low numbers. It is not going to be the size of 2024's class. But if you follow Wilt Fong, all the guys, there are some huge names in the recruiting rankings that are all being crystal balled, future cast, whatever you want to call it, to OU. And it is very fun. If you want to get on Covered Wagons, I think is one of the sites that does that stuff, some others, it's pretty impressive right now. And again, a big piece of it is, luckily, the 2025 class has a lot of in-state talent, and it has a lot of Texas talent, which helps OU tremendously. But it is a impressive looking forecast so far in the recruiting side of things, and it's very exciting. And speaking of forecasts, OU already has a recruit that is committed to them in the 2025 class, and we have mentioned how the O-line needs a lot of help, a lot of experience, needs to upgrade. Well, OU got a commitment a few weeks ago from one Ryan Foji. A lot of people were like, oh, great, his size looks good, blah, blah, blah. He's a three-star-ish guy. All the jokes of three-star you start coming out. Of course, here we go. Well, they did some updated rankings as of today, and I can't remember now if it was Rivals or On3. I forgot to put in my notes. Mr. Foji jumped 282 spots from outside the top 300 to number 80 overall. He jumped into the top 100 and is now considered the number 8 offensive tackle in the class. I think our staff might be able to evaluate.
I mean, look, it's, I said this when we talked about the commitment, especially with how recruiting works or the recruiting services work now, it boils my blood, especially when it's in the off season, right? We get a commit like that. Oh, a 3-star you. And it's like, bro, you have no idea what that kid's going to be by the time football actually starts.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How many people have been like that where they've, I would love, like, this is like where my analytics side of my brain's like, I would love to have like a spreadsheet of guys that were unranked, 3 stars, whatever, that end up being 4 and 5 stars by the end of the cycle because they just jumped. And it's, and a lot of times it's not like, oh, they crawled their way up. It's like, no, they went from, like you said, this situation, they jumped nearly 300 spots.
Sammy Omasego.
Yeah.
Case in point. Gosh, there was another one in that class that took a huge, huge, huge jump. And I cannot. Josiah Wagner was one of those that took a massive jump in that class. So, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, I'm interested to see what will happen. But, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I think we were all – I think for us personally, we were excited to have him. I don't know if we thought that he was a world changer. And time will still tell. But it's like now that you have a guy that you can go and recruit and say, we've already got a top 100 guy.
And a top 10 tackle in the country. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a selling point. So,
yeah. And they're in on like literally 2 of the top 5 tackles in the country. And so, you know, that the pressure's on now of, hey, look, we're only taking this many guys. We've already got 1 top 10 guy. We need another guy to book in this sucker. Are you in or are you out? Right. And that's a huge advantage for that coaching staff to be able to use in the recruiting pitch for sure.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Like I said, I kind of expect. I don't think it's going to be one of those things where we're going to be talking a whole lot about commitments between now and, you know, even September to some degree. But because it's a different style, but still, it just feels like BV's getting that grasp on the recruiting in like a. Like I said, it's really truly becoming what he wants to build again. You know what I mean? He's had that the last couple of classes, but you know what I mean? Like he's really sinking in his teeth into it. And now we're seeing guys that two years ago, even a year ago, maybe we probably weren't going to be in on a top 5 tackle.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever. So it's just exciting stuff.
That's great stuff. Sticking with some general college football notes, Jared, I didn't know if you had noticed some really big news out of Austin, Texas this week. Arch Manning has decided to withhold himself from EA Sports' college football game. Billy Bowman had some thoughts. Do you have any comments, thoughts on Arch Manning not?
I gotta focus on football. I want to keep it. Let's keep the focus on football. It's a football game for one. Two, what are you talking about? Shut up. The most idiotic thing I've ever heard a Manning say in my life. Like, bro, they're going
to
take.
I didn't want to fill out 2 pieces of paper so I could be in a video game.
You're going to fill out 2 pieces of paper. I don't even know if they do facial scans with the way AI is. Like, you could probably just have to send them your stock photo that the university has and they put you in the game. You know what? Now, great, Arch. You know what? You're not going to be in the game. They're going to have somebody random generated player in your position and named Bob Smith or something. Nobody's going to care about and nobody's going to notice. Like the Texas fans are all the Texas stands are going to be, oh, we got to go and get, let's, you know, create a player for Arch Manning and he's going to have 9, whatever. Like it's so dumb. It's just, I don't care like if you don't want to be in the game. I don't care if you don't want to be in the game, but saying it's because I want to focus on football. Texas football is so disorganized that I can't have 30 minutes of my day to fill out some paperwork to send to EA Sports. Just the logic makes no sense. The dumbest. I'm sorry. Maybe it's because I'm a gamer. I don't know, but I don't know.
So here's my question. Do you think that give you a few options here? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Some thoughts I have about why maybe Arch truly opted out. So let's option one, we're going to take him at face value, signing his name and his name, image and likeness rights over to EA Sports was just going to take too much time from football. so he had to pass up on it. Option B,
yeah,
that he wants to work a little bit more money, because they have mentioned there are certain players that they're going to up the ante for a little bit, and what they're paying out beyond their whatever it was, $700 in a free game or $1,600 in a free game or whatever. So he's negotiating a better contract. Or option three, the most conspiracy theory of all that continues on from his high school conspiracy theory. The Mannings are going to make a donation to EA Sports so that this generated backup quarterback, who's not Arch Manning, but could be Arch Manning, will be rated higher than Quinn Ewers year one on the game, to just create the story and the greatness of Arch Manning, just as they put him in a 2A Louisiana high school that competes against nobody, and therefore made him the number one quarterback in the country.
Yeah, with throwing 129 yards and three interceptions in a game. Anyway, dude, it's just dumb. Like, it doesn't even make sense. No, none of it. It's just, he's an idiot. Like, I mean, think about it. Okay, he says, well, I just want to focus on football. Okay, so what happens if 2 years, let's say best case scenario for Arch, 2 years, dude's led Texas to a winning season or whatever, he's just put him in a big-time bowl game, the playoffs or whatever, and they're like, Arch, we want to put you on the cover as the cover athlete.
I can't.
Why? Is it still not about football? Clearly, you don't need the money. You know, like, oh, I just, I don't know. It's just the most cringe thing. Like, Arch Manning, I don't even dislike the kid. He seems like a genuinely good kid. But I'm like, dude, you're so cringe. It's just like, it just makes no sense as to what you're saying. And the fan base makes it worse. Their fan base makes it 1,000 times worse.
Oh, man, Arch is going to take over. Did you see that? He don't even want to be on the game because he's so focused on Longhorns.
Boy, I tell you what, man, he stood up to EA Sports. He said, I ain't taking your $600. Oh, I can hear it now.
I got to get to the training room. I ain't got time to give you my name and account number. I got to get down here and watch film with Sark.
I heard that he was going to take the deal, but then he said he was going to throw three more passes in practice, so he didn't have the time. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'm sorry. Maybe I'm a little bit – it's like, I don't even care. I'm not going to play as Texas. It's just the dumbest logic. Why? I don't know. But whatever. Let's move on.
Another great moment this week. Caleb Williams walking around and being everywhere at the NFL draft combine, doing interviews, signing babies, kissing babies in the air, but not doing any medical exams, not doing a weigh-in, not doing a height measurement, not throwing the football. We're not running a 40. We're not doing a shuttle, because there's only one Caleb Williams, baby. 32 teams can't draft me. There's only one of me.
I want to like Caleb, you know. I don't know. His deal when they asked him, they said, well, you know, why did you not throw today? And he goes, well, I've got, you know, however many other games that you could go watch film on. I'm like, yes, so does everybody else here. Like, what do you mean? That's the dumbest argument, too. Like, what? Everybody here, there's Sam Hartman has like 50 games that you could go watch film on. What are you talking about? Like, I don't know. Honestly,
here's the deal. I don't mind the throwing one as much. I mean, I still think he would have showed out. I think the dude can throw the football, right? But I do understand, like, I would be okay with a guy going, look, I want to go to each team that we know is interested in us and has the availability to draft us, and we're going to throw their route tree. Like, instead of just these generic routes and then me having to go there and do this again. But here's what I don't understand. And maybe for somebody that's been knows the combine system better than we do, I did not have a chance to research this, but don't they at the combine, don't they just have a generic like lineup of medical stuff you do, right? Like the NFL has their doctors there from different teams, and they're going to measure your hands. They're going to measure your height. They're going to put you on a scale and weigh you. They're going to scan your heart. They're going to run an MRI. And then in that information just sent out to all the teams. And instead he goes, well, not all these teams can draft me. So I'm only going to do it for the teams that, like, so you want to go through this three or four times? Like, yeah. You want to go to the top four draft picks and say, oh, I want to do this over and over and over and over again for you all rather than doing it here with everybody and all of y'all getting the information. Like, it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, I don't really understand. I mean, this feels like Carl Williams doing some weird thing in his head. I don't really understand it. I'll be the guy. I still like Caleb. I don't really like the attitude there for this. Like you said, it doesn't make sense. But the one thing is I have seen some OU fans like on Twitter and whatever that are like, oh, look at this. And I'm like, we're all so quick to forget him saving our butts in the OU Texas game. You know, I mean, not to say there wasn't other guys that went out there and
gave
balled
us out maybe the greatest OU Texas game ever.
Maybe the greatest OU game ever. I don't know about that, but the top five.
Yes.
Just overall.
I know people will say all the national championships have to be ranked above, and I get whatever, but from a drama standpoint, that game was insane.
As far as a nail biter game, it's got to be top five.
Yeah.
If not top three, probably, but yeah, it just a great, great, athlete and everything. He did a lot for OU. And of course he went to USC, but you know, I don't know. Let me ask you this real quick before we move on. Do you think it's good for him if he goes to the Bears?
I don't think it's the worst situation. I really don't. If it was the Browns, I'd say no. Right? If it was
I might say the Bears or the Browns might be a better situation, in my opinion, actually.
From a roster, but not from an organization standpoint. That place is a train wreck.
Yeah.
It's a train wreck of an organization. It's why Baker is succeeding in Tampa and struggled there so badly. I mean, like, you know, I mean, there are just certain organizations that are just so bad. That's one of them. The Redskins would be a bad situation for him to be in with Daniel Snyder and all, like, you know what I mean? Like, you just have certain organizations that are just don't get it, like, at all. Denver, I think, would be a great situation. I think Atlanta could be a great situation for him. I think, but even there, I mean, he's got DJ Moore. They've got a decent running back there. Their tight end's not great, but he's fine. You know, like, I think there's something to that place better than some other places. You know, let's put it this way. I feel like he's in a better situation at Chicago with what they have, and especially with all the draft picks, the talent that they have there and the draft picks that would come after that than he is with Bryce Young at Carolina.
Yeah, probably.
I mean, what's he got? You know what I mean? So, yeah, I don't think it's the worst. I know he's kind of alluded to he may not want to go there or whatever, but I think it's a fine spot.
I mean, you know, we've talked, you kind of highlighted a couple. The Bears have not been good for the last, I don't know how many years. And, you know, you look at the Jets or all that, but it's like, honestly, it's like, look at the Lions.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know that's probably more of an exception rather than the rule, but it's like, people have to, I think people get wrapped up in the NFL where they think, well, this franchise is bad and has been for a while, so they're always going to be bad. It's like, we're not talking about Southern Kentucky State University. We're talking about a franchise that can turn it around. We've seen that with, even when the Patriots became a dynasty.
Yeah.
But the Chiefs were not good for several years.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're a dynasty. You know, you're always waiting on that dynasty to build, you know. So I think, to me, it's like, I always find it dumb. If he does come out and say, I don't want to go to Chicago, which I think he's pretty much said that he would go to Chicago now. But if, you know, it came out that he refused to go to Chicago, I'm like, dude, that is 1,000% stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. That's not one of the organizations that, like, for instance, Cincinnati's one of those. Like, granted, Joe Burrow and all that's working, but, like, they are known throughout the league to not want to spend money. Like, that is what they're known for. Like, that's not where you want to go. You don't want to go to an organization that says we will not spend money on players, right? Like, that kind of stuff is where, what I mean. And I just don't feel like Chicago is that, you know, for them. They've just, they've missed on some QB draft picks, and I don't think they hired a great coach to run it, but we'll see what happens with this next round. Lalas moving into the NFL, kind of wrapping up with football here. Mike Evans signs a 2-year deal with Tampa Bay, which seems to maybe indicate maybe Baker is
on. Dude, there's, what's crazy is like they have still have a good amount of budget left. They still have enough cap space, but there's so many moving parts in the QB market. You got to think that they, I just don't feel like with how things were going with Mike Evans, it's just a unique thing that you would not think he would re-sign with Tampa unless they had given him some assurances that a QB signing was on the horizon.
Yeah, a little bit. Although I will say for a guy his age, the contract's pretty big. And I think, I don't know, I didn't do the research on wide receivers that age, what kind of contracts they get. But I believe his was 2 years at an average of, you know, $22, $23 million a year.
But she's what, 31 now? 30,
he's
31?
35, I think.
35? Is he that old?
I think so. Man, okay. Let me see if I can look this up really quick. This is great podcasting right here.
I feel like he's like lower 30s because he came out with Johnny Manziel, didn't he?
I was completely off. Yes. 30 is correct. He will be 31 going into the season next year. So he would end at 33, but still mid 30s at wide receiver. Granted, things have changed.
Yeah, 30s different. Yeah, a lot of times about 30 to that 30 to 35 window is when you start to really see that decline start to hit.
Right.
So
pretty big deal for that, you know, that age and all that stuff. So maybe they overpaid him a little bit just to say, hey, we want you to finish here, we want you to be our guy. That could be it, but we, you know, there had been reports that he was watching what would happen with Baker. No one really said what that meant, but it seems like a good thing. And if nothing else, at least Baker would come back to a situation with Mike Evans, Russell Gage, who will come back healthy, and Godwin would be a great little, you know, trio for him to work with.
I've said this too. I said, even though I don't know how long Tampa, because Tampa's in that weird position of, like we talked about this last week, I think about they're aging and they're getting to the point with contracts where it's like, are we going to have to hit a rebuild? Right. Yeah. Are we going to have to hit that rebuild button? But even with that, it's like, I still think for Baker's sake, for just his progression, I think the best thing is for him to stay in Tampa long term.
Yeah. I agree. Be in a system.
Even if, you know, they only have another season or two of being good and then they kind of are, you know, not good, I think I'd still rather him be at a franchise that's going to support him.
Well, and let's be, I think what'll be interesting is just what the number comes in at, right? Because I think we both agree Baker's not getting some $60 million a year contract. That's not happening. So they're going to get their starting quarterback on the cheap. Right. Not rookie level cheap, but on the cheap. And so therefore it's going to open them up to retain some of those. I mean, they're going to have the ability to look at the defense and the offensive line, for instance, say, this is the one offensive lineman we can't let go of. This is the one defensive lineman we cannot let go of. Here's the one linebacker or safety or corner that we cannot let go of. We're going to sign those guys and then build around that from free agency and stuff. So I think it's a great position for him and he can get going. So getting out of football, let's move now to basketball. Men's hoops, for the first time since 2016, want to have a 20-win season at OU. Look, it has been an up-and-down year for OU men's basketball, but I thought it was a gutsy performance, a gutsy win. So always love it when you can end on a win for senior night for the seniors that are there, especially the transfers and that kind of stuff. Just a great deal, and kudos to Porter Moser, man. Great
overtime thriller too.
Yeah, overtime game, absolutely. And so it'll be interesting. Look, I think this team is just really interesting in that if you go back to the non-conference, McCollum, Uzan and Owe, man. That was the trio. They were carrying the squad. Those guys have disappeared for the most part. Now, McCollum had a great game against, I believe it was Houston, and even the game before that, played really, really well. He did not play good against Cincinnati. He did not play good against Iowa State. They need him. They need one of those three guys to bounce back in the tournament if they want to make some noise. But I still thought it was a great year. The roster was improved. Now you just got to hope recruiting and another round of transfer portal can really just add to this team. And let's be real, the schedule is not going to be as daunting in the SEC, which will help this team moving forward as well.
So interesting news, by the way. I know we're talking basketball, we're about to talk a little softball, but this Magbiombo is had collapsed.
Whoa.
During the Thunders game. But he has been cleared of no serious injury, but it's still weird that he collapsed apparently right in front of the Thunder bench.
No way.
Yeah, so it's just breaking Yikes. Deal. So Yikes. Anyways, I just saw that pop up and I thought I would seems like he's okay, so that's good news. Sorry, yeah. Just a breaking headline.
Gotcha.
But speaking of collapses, the OU softball streak has come to an end. Did you watch the game?
I got to watch a pretty decent chunk of it, yes.
I'm not going to be that guy. It's like, oh, we got – I just don't understand the rules of some of the softball things, right? Like, I feel like maybe there should be some clarification or some more, well-said rules, because there was the play that would have put OU ahead.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what it was, but they threw a ball to first.
Yes.
And the girl had to jump off the bag to catch it.
Yep.
But she was basically standing on the baseline. So the girl running, I don't even remember who it was, had to try to go around her. And there was basically no bag. She, as a matter of fact, she took out the first baseman trying to get to first.
Yep.
Just to touch the bag. And she apparently didn't, is what they said, I believe. And they called her out. And I was like, so how is that not impeding? But right. Then Kinsey Hansen, was, I don't remember how long ago that was, that she got called for impeding. And it was what is she supposed
moving
to do?
Moving to catch a ball. The rule says you can do.
Yeah. So I don't know. Very weird thing.
Call was terrible in that game down the third baseline that gave Louisiana the lead. You had the very awkward ball three, I think was the call. And out of nowhere, the Louisiana coach challenges and Jada Coleman is called out for leaving the bag early. On a play where she wasn't even trying to steal. She didn't do anything. There were just some very odd calls in that game.
Yeah.
And now granted, OU's talented enough. And Louisiana was under 500 as a softball team. You should be able to withstand those three calls and come back and win that game.
There was just a ton of errors too.
Field. All the stuff. But it's very clear the pitching is not. It is not where you expected it to be with this OU team. They are relying on their bats to get them out of these games, that their offense will get going enough to win them games. And they need to get back to where they've got at least one or two pitchers that you feel highly confident can go in there and really hold the game together. They have recruited too high a level at that position to have it be what it is right now.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I don't disagree. I think the biggest thing is, I think a little bit, it was just a mental, maybe it's just one of those mental games that you just, every athlete has those games, your team has those games where you're just not quite locked in. You should be. And that's not any, we won 71 games straight. And even really looking back at that, it's like, how many games did OU have to come from behind to win those games?
Oh Lord. Yeah.
So it was bound to happen just statistically. It was going to, so it's not any commentary. Patty Gasso is still the best softball coach in the country. But I think, I forget her name, there was, they made a pitching change and you could just tell she wasn't locked in when she came out.
Yeah.
Now after she got out of that inning finally and started going, she was fine. but it was like she came out of the dug or the bullpen and just was not locked in. So
yeah.
Anyway, but still, an impressive 71 games is
so crazy. That I mean, it's nuts. It really is, and I think I even saw somebody put online the other day that that might be a record that's not broken ever. And if it is, it's going to be a long, long, long time from now. And if you and I's conversation from 2 weeks ago comes true, it will never be broken because women's college sports might be disappearing as we professionalize.
You had to go negative.
All there. So anyways, on a more positive note, slightly negative, can you give us a Thunderscore update, Jared? Do you have it there with you?
I'm looking at it right now. It is 111 to 101. Thunder leading with 5 minutes, 53 seconds in the fourth.
10 minutes to go. 5 minutes to go in the fourth against Portland. So it looks like a potential win tonight. Although they did have a pretty sizable loss to the Lakers. And the night before that, they had a tough game against Phoenix that they were able to gut out and win. Although Phoenix did not have Devin Booker. They also did not have one of their rotational players in that game. Really kind of came down to the wire after the Thunder had a 25-point lead, got cut all the way to 2, and then they held on to win the game. The Lakers, man, the Thunder are 1-3 against the Lakers. 1-3, which to me just comes down to this. LeBron James is a tank. Anthony Davis is a tank. And both offensively trying to defend them is a struggle and trying to keep them off the glass is a struggle. I believe we were out rebounded in that game by like 15 in the Lakers game. And that was a big, big piece of the difference in that game. It just continues to show size and rebounding are a problem for this team.
I mean, it does, but I also think it's, to look at it through a wider lens, it's like the Thunder, even in some of those games, not necessarily the last one with the Lakers, but it's like they, especially across the whole season, are statistically dominate pretty much every other stat, you know, or way up there. And even against the Lakers, it's like you look at it and they're definitely, it's just that Achilles heel team, right? I think you're right to some degree. I think they just don't have the, like you said, they don't have the mass in the paint that the Lakers do.
Yeah.
But again, I also don't think, you know, put my bias aside for a minute, but I don't think anybody's looking at the Lakers and going, man, the Lakers are so much better than the Thunder are. Right.
Just well, let me ask it this way. Right now, the Lakers would be in the play-in game, right?
Right.
If they win said playoff game or play-in games, there's a chance that these teams meet up in the second round.
Yep.
Who would you pick? But that pause. So a 10th team in the rankings right now made you think for like 10 seconds, oh man, I don't know.
Well, I don't know. This is what we talk about. We talk about this in football. We talk about it in basketball. It's just that matchup team is what I'm trying to say. I don't disagree with you at all. I'm just saying, I think top to bottom, the Thunder are a better team right now than the Lakers. But it's just that team that's just a matchup nightmare for them. I think they do have to figure some things out. I think Dagnall's really good. I think if you give him a 7-game series against the Lakers, just straight up in the playoffs, I think he's going to have something dialed up a little different, maybe.
I hope so. And as you said earlier, Bismack Biyombo collapses during the game, apparently, tonight from the sideline. And granted, look, I'm not trying to make out Bismack Biyombo as some savior of Thunder basketball, but he was a big physical body to use in some of these games for a spell. And if that turns into something more than what we think, that could really be problematic for the Thunder on some levels. Here's another question very quick about the Thunder as we wrap this up. I think it would be fair to say that so far, and it's still early after a long layoff with injury, but the Gordon Hayward experiment is, I would say,
is it
very average to below average.
Yeah, I don't know that.
And I would even say one game's really been average. The rest has been very below average.
Yeah, I mean, the problem is you don't. I mean, I guess the Thunder are in a very tricky spot, right? Because in a way, you have a lot of runway because you're what we're two, and I think we're still number two in the West.
Correct.
So you're not fighting to try to get into the playoffs or something. So you can kind of give them that time to learn the system and learn how to play with everybody. But you also want to try to fight for that top spot.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. It could go – at this point, I think you give it a little bit longer, but I do think you have to – like you – at some point, you're going to have to decide a cutoff, right, and be like, yeah, we got to do something different.
Yeah. And so I guess that'd be my – I think since the All-Star break, are we at the 10-game mark, somewhere in that neighborhood, 8-10 games, leaving, you know, 18-ish games down the stretch, somewhere in that neighborhood for the season. How much more run do you give Hayward before you say this is not a rotational piece for us?
Probably only like 3 or 4 more games, maybe.
Yeah.
I'd have to look at the schedule. That's one of those things that I'd have to look at the schedule. But yeah. By the way, the lead now is down to 2.
Oh my Lord.
Let me see. Let's see where Hayward is. He's 3 from 3 for the field. 10 points, 2 rebounds, no assists. But yeah.
That's a good night.
Shea's 12 for 22. 0 from 3 from behind 3, though. 2 rebounds, 4 assists. But he has 33 points. Oh, wow. J-Dub?
Mm-hmm.
How many points do you think he has?
31.
24.
Huh.
7 for 4. He's shooting 50%. 2 from 3 behind the arc. So, I mean, they're playing well tonight, but... and even Giddy, like, I'll give it to Giddy on this one. He's 7 for 8 from the field.
Jeez.
17 points. So, you know, we'll see. But yeah, it's close game. I mean, you should be, and this is what's concerning is the way the Thunder are is it's just such a, while they've been overperforming, they're such a weird team where it's, again, I know it's basketball and all that, but it's like, to me, it's like, it feels like they're more prone to have close games against bad teams than they are to just go out. You know what I mean? Like it's that weird thing where it feels like they play up or down to competition sometimes more than other basketball teams do, is maybe how I should say that.
Which, again, for the second youngest team in the NBA, that's probably about right, you know, to have that mentality and do that. So we'll see. But again, I will give them this. I was thinking about this the other day. If you think back to the All-Star break last year, I think they started after the All-Star break 0-7 after this overachieving year, but it's what some people thought it was. They went 0-7 out the break. I mean, it was rough. You know, and as it is right now, they have 2 losses, I think, in this whole stretch so far, coming out, like I said, in 10-12 games since they've been back from the All-Star break. So not bad at all. It's been a great run, but it is going to be interesting to see moving forward, if Hayward can get his footing and get going, and if they can figure out the rebounding in just some way. They're never going to overcome it this year, but just how to manage it a little bit better. Because even the Suns game, I mean, they gave up 31 rebounds to one player in that game. That's just insane. You just cannot do that. So very quickly on entertainment, I think you enjoyed Dune. You kind of mentioned it.
Dune. Yeah, so I've like read some of the books. I really enjoyed the books. The movie was really good. By the way, what a loud movie. They felt like there was always all there's. I mean, I actually liked it. Like, it felt like it gave it like an atmosphere, whatever words you want to use. But it just, yeah, it was like constant. Just, you were just like, wow, just like sensory overload with the audio sometimes. But yeah, no, I really enjoyed it. I'm anxious to see. I mean, I don't want to spoil anything, but yeah, I'm anxious. I'll probably go see it again when it, I don't think I'll see it again in theaters, but I was actually telling somebody, I was like, you remember the days when movies were cheap enough you'd go see a movie like two or three times and not feel like you were just wasting money? It's like, dude, I went by myself like a loser and like bought a bucket of popcorn and a drink on a Tuesday, and I still spent like $45.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So, it was really good. Really enjoyed it. It's kind of depressing because I got home and I was like, man, there's got to be some like other movies like right down the pipe. You know what I mean? Yeah. And there's really not. Like,
Kung Fu Panda?
Like,
that's about it.
Yeah, I'm out. Deadpool and Wolverine's in like July. Twister actually looks good.
It's all right. It's all right.
I was like, it'll be cool because I was like,
part two of Mission Impossible come out?
I don't know. I don't think they've announced a date. Probably towards the end of the year, I imagine. I don't know. I did enjoy it. No, I think Twister will be fun. I told him, I was like, I'll watch Twisters just for like, I lived in Oklahoma for 30 years of my life. So it's like, a lot of it was filmed in Oklahoma and stuff.
Right.
And I was like, I wonder if there'll be any place where I'll be like, oh, dude, I've seen that road. Like, I know where they're at. You know what I mean? So, but you know, it's just cool to see, even if it's about tornadoes, it's kind of cool to see.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
And CGI, I think, has come a little bit farther down the road than when the original Twister was made. So that'll be nice as well.
I do like an old Hangman's the main character, whatever, from Top Gun. The actor's name. So yeah, no, I'm excited about it. There's gonna be some good stuff coming. And like I said, for me personally, F1's back. The first race is over. It is funny because I don't want to get into it because it'd be another 30 minutes worth of pod. The chaos around the outside the track
is
so crazy around F1 right now. And the racing was like, it was good. It was fine. Max went and drove off in the distance and won by however many seconds.
Oh, of course.
But the rest of the racing was pretty good. But yeah, all the chaos. I told him, I was like, it literally feels like I'm watching a soap opera now. Like, there's like three or four major storylines happening all at once. And it's like, I just, every day I get up and like I open Twitter and I'm like, what happened today? You know? So, but yeah. Yeah, I think that's pretty much all I got.
Nice.
Just excited for, like I said, F1's kind of the good thing about F1, if you're an OU fan and you're thinking about it, you're a motorsport person. The good thing about F1 is it continues all the way into November. So, like, you get F1. They do have a little bit of a summer break. They have a little summer break in the middle there. But they go through all the way. So, you get everything into football season. So,
yeah,
if you want a little sport, then it kind of carries you.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. It's good times for sure. So, I don't get into it, but I need to try to more because it's growing and becoming a big deal. And so, it'd be fun to do. So, anyways, well, hey, thanks for joining us. We hope you've liked it. Hope we've given you some things to think about, a little bit of information that maybe you didn't know before. And so again, just remember, we don't have paywalls. We don't have subscriptions. We don't have anything else. The only thing that keeps this thing going is that some of you listen to it every now and then. And so if you do like, subscribe, all those kinds of things, that helps us. We're always trying to work to get other people on the pod and join us. And so those kinds of things help us to be able to do that. And so again, please do that if you can. We're having a great time. We hope you are too. I'm Daryl, that's Jared, and we will talk to you guys later.
Night, Baker.
Cha-ching, it's under money ball.
You can unhitch the wagon. Put the ponies in the ball.